Shalom, and welcome to the Hebraic Heritage Ministries Yeshiva Discipleship Program. In this session, we are going to be discussing the subject of two houses and the exiles of Israel. What we're going to be covering in this session is the first of a series of teachings on what the New Testament says regarding this issue. To begin with, we want to see how this is connected and associated with the birth of Yochanan the Immerser, or commonly called John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it is written, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." What we're told here is that Zechariah is a priest of the course of Abia. In order to understand what is being communicated to us, we need to look at 1 Chronicles in chapter 24, verse 1, 5, and 10, where we are told that the course of Abia is the eighth course of the priests. Now, these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. Thus were they divided by lot. And the eighth division of the priests in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 10, is the course of Abia. But what does this communicate to us? In order to understand a greater background, we need to realize that Israel in the first century was divided into 24 districts, and that certain courses of the priests came to Jerusalem to administer their duties at certain times of the year. We are told about this in the Talmud in Tanit 26a. The following are the details concerning the Mahamadot. The earlier prophets instituted 24 Mishmarot, which is districts, and each Mishmar, or district, was represented at the temple in Jerusalem by its own ma'amad, or groups of people, consisting of priests, Levites, and Israelites. The priests were divided into 24 divisions, with each division serving in the temple for one full week every half year. The division was subdivided into six families or groups, and each group was in service on one day in the week. Priests from each of the 24 districts of Israel served during the biblical feasts, where all are commanded to come to Jerusalem, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, for the feasts. As a result, the course of Abia, which is the eighth course of the priests, they would be serving in the 10th week of the year because of the holidays between the first week and the course of Abia, one of which being Passover. In Luke chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 11, we are told that Zacharias is in the temple and he's burning incense at the altar, as it is written. According to the custom of the priest's office, and we just gave a little background of that, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And what Zacharias is praying, or a part of his prayers, is what's known as the Amidah, or the 18 benedictions. The Amidah, which means standing prayer, are 18 prayers that are prayed three times a day in traditional Judaism. Two of these prayers are for the end of the exile of Jacob and the coming of King Messiah. the coming of King Messiah is associated with the coming of Elijah, who precedes King Messiah. In the book, The Messiah Texts by Raphael Patai, on page 181, we are told in chapter 19 of the book, that chapter entitled The Ingathering of the Exiles and the Return of the Shekinah, that Orthodox Jews pray three times a day for the ingathering of the exiles, or the two houses of Israel being united under King Messiah. One of the great themes of the Messianic cycle is that of the ingathering of the exiles from the four corners of the earth. Ever since the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Romans in the year 70, Jews have prayed three times a day for the ingathering, which was for them synonymous with redemption. Redemption means the end of the exile of Jacob and the Messianic era. Closely connected with it are the 10 lost tribes of Israel, who were exiled by the Assyrians in 721 before the Common Era, and who dwelt beyond the river Sabbatian. These tribes will be ingathered by the Messiah in the land of Israel, together with those who are exiled in the West. Continuing in the Messiah text by Raphael Patai on page 321, where we find the appendix of the book and an explanation of the prayers for the coming of the Messiah, or the Amidah prayers that are recited as a part of the daily prayers. It says, the requests for redemption and the coming of the Messiah addressed to God are a part of the Amidah prayers, referred to as the Shemoneh Esrei, or the 18 benedictions, which together with the Shema, or Hear, O Israel, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, are the most important Jewish daily prayers, which are recited three times a day. And the Amidah prayer, there was an extra prayer that was added by Rabban Gamaliel II after the destruction of the temple. And what we are going to focus on from page 321 of the Messiah text by Raphael Patai is the 10th prayer, which goes like this. Blow the great shofar for our freedom and lift up a banner to gather our exiles. Gather us together from the four corners of the earth. Blessed are you, O Lord, who gathers the banished of your people Israel. So the ingathering of the exiles is associated with the coming of the Messiah, and the coming of the Messiah is associated with Elijah preceding his coming. In the book From Exile to Redemption by Rebbe Menachem Schneerson, Volume 1, on page 156, he writes, we have been promised in the book of Malachi that Elijah the prophet will appear first to herald the coming of the Messiah. Yeshua was asked, why is it that the rabbis teach that Elijah precedes the coming of the Messiah? He was asked this question in Matthew chapter 17, verses 10 through 13, and his answer is also contained there. It is written, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Yeshua answered and said to them, Elijah truly shall first come, that's future, and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already. Elijah will come. Why? Because there's a second coming of the Messiah. But Elijah has come already. Why? Because he's in talking context of his first coming. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake of them of John the Baptist, or Yochanan the Immerser. We are told in Luke chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 17, that Yochanan the Immerser, or John the Baptist, is personified as Elijah, or has the spirit and the ministry of Elijah. It is written, "But the angel said to him, Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard." You see, he's praying this Amidah prayer, which is for the coming of the Messiah, and if he's praying for the coming of the Messiah, he's praying for the coming of Elijah, who precedes the Messiah. And so he's praying the prayer, and the angel says, "Oh, your prayer is being answered. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah." We see that this is a reference to the ministry and the work of Elijah in Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And the ministry of Elijah is a ministry of repentance and restoration. Repentance for not following Torah, and a restoration to embracing and following Torah. And of course, what's associated with following Torah is embracing the Messiah, who is the one that enables your sins to be forgiven, and the one who teaches and instructs you in Torah as revealed by the Ruach, and which comes from the Heavenly Father. Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. "Remember ye the Torah of Moses." That's the message of Elijah, or the Elijah ministry. "My servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of Yahweh." At Passover, in a traditional Passover Seder service, there are four cups that you partake of. And they teach us about our personal salvation in Messiah. The four cups speak of the first cup, the cup of sanctification; the second cup, the cup of affliction and deliverance; the third cup, the cup of redemption; and the fourth cup is the cup of his coming. And then we have another cup known as the cup of Elijah. And the Elijah cup reminds us that Elijah will precede the coming of the Messiah, and since you partake of this cup at Passover, it is seen that Elijah's coming is linked with Passover and with the Passover season. The modern custom of having a cup for Elijah is a custom that came about in the Middle Ages, but nevertheless, the understanding and the association of Elijah coming at Passover has been since before that. And it was understood in the first century as being the case. In the book From Exile to Redemption by Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, volume 1, page 99, he writes, "The custom of filling a goblet of wine for the prophet Eliyahu or Elijah at the Seder night on Pesach or Passover is not mentioned in the Talmud and the Gemara, nor in the Rishonim, the early medieval halakhic authorities. Its earliest source is in the writings of the Akharonim, the authorities of the 16th century and later. Why is this so? The custom is an expression of the Jewish people's belief in the coming of the Messiah and in the coming of Elijah or Eliyahu, who will herald the imminent redemption. The cup of Elijah is not drunk in a traditional Passover Seder, as it's celebrated today, but it is poured out. The cup of Elijah reminds us that before Messiah will return, that Elijah will precede his coming. In the traditional Passover Seder, in step 14, which is known as Hallel, it is at this time that you partake of the fourth cup of the four cups of Passover. During Hallel, a cup is poured for Elijah. Traditionally, the children go to the door to look for the coming of Elijah. Psalm 115 to 118 are recited, then the great Hallel, or Psalm 136, is recited. So the reason why the children go to look for the coming of Elijah is because it is seen that Elijah is going to come at Passover, or at the Passover season. So the fourth cup is drunk, and that cup is known as the cup of his coming or the cup of the kingdom. Then a song is sung known as Haggadah. In Luke chapter 1, we are told the events surround the birth of Yochanan the Immerser. Luke chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, verse 57, and verses 62 and 63, it is written, "And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, after he went back to his own house, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And the people made signs to his father, how he would have him called, or what he would be named. And he asked for a writing table, and he wrote, saying, his name is John." Allowing for the laws of separation, Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19, and verses 24 and 25, after going back to his house, Luke chapter 1, verse 23, then going forward 9 months, or the 10th week of the year, plus 2 weeks, plus 9 months, will put you at the time of Passover. And so we can see from the information provided in the Brit Hadashah, or the Renewed Covenant, that Yochanan the Immerser was born at the Passover season, which is the exact time when there was an expectation for the coming of Elijah. And Elijah proclaims Messiah and the redemption. And ultimately, the redemption is the role of the Messiah to ingather the exiles and set up his messianic kingdom. In the book, From Exile to Redemption, Volume 2, page 111, by Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, quoting from the Talmud in Rosh Hashanah 11a, which says, "Rabbi Eliezer says in Nisan, that is the Babylonian name for the month in which Passover falls, in Nisan our people were redeemed, that is from Egypt, and in Tishrei, that is the month where we have Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles, they will be redeemed. However, Rabbi Yehoshua says, in Nisan, our people were redeemed, and in Nisan, they will be redeemed again." In other words, the future redemption is at Passover season, just like the historical redemption. The Midrash, which is Shemot Rabbah 15:11, determines, according to the view of Rabbi Yehoshua, that the time of the redemption is the month of Nisan, or the month of Passover. Passover is the time of redemption. Historically, Isaac was born at Passover. In the Art Scroll of Genesis, Volume 1, page 641, it says, "Isaac's birth, all agree that he was born on the first day of Passover," and a reference to this is in the Talmud on Rosh Hashanah 11a, and it quotes other sources there as well. In understanding that Isaac was born at Passover, in Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, it says these words, "And the Lord visited Sarah." The phrase "visited" is a Hebraic code word that means redemption. So while it's describing Isaac's literal birth, it's making an allusion or a hint that Passover is the time of Yahweh visiting his people or redeeming his people from this word, visited. and Genesis 21, verses 2 and 3 and verse 6. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. In Hebrew, that's the moed. And the festivals are called moed, set times, appointed times, of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac, or Yitzhak. And the redemption of Zion in Psalm 126 is associated with Isaac, or laughter. And that's the meaning of Isaac, is laughter. For Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so all that hear will laugh with me. Redemption is Yahweh visiting his people. We can see these words spoken in Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which you swear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. When the God of Israel called Moses to go proclaim redemption to the children of Israel in Egypt, this is what he told Moses to say to them in Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And these words are repeated in Exodus chapter 4, verse 31, as it is written. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. In the Sanchino Midrash Rabbah, volume 3, page 68, it explains that the true deliverer of the nation of Israel will visit his people. And I have said, I will bring you up, Exodus chapter 3, verse 17. Tell them that I will do what I promised to Jacob their father. What did he promise him? And I will also surely bring you up again. That is Genesis in chapter 46, verse 4. And so Jacob promised his sons, but God will be with you and bring you back into the land of your fathers. Genesis chapter 48, verse 21. Because of this tradition of deliverance which they possessed, that any redeemer that came and used twice the expression pakad to visit was known to be a true deliverer. In the Sanchino Midrash Rabbah, volume 3, page 67, it explains that the visitation of the future, that is the ingathering of the exiles and the house of Jacob from all the nations where they've been scattered, will correspond to the visitation of the past. That is the historical Egyptian redemption. Say unto them, I have surely remembered you. God said to him, they have a tradition from Joseph that with this watchword will I redeem them. Go and tell them this sign. Why the double expression? Visit, I will visit you, because the visitation of the future will correspond to that of the past. In the Art Scroll of Genesis, volume 2, page 2226, it says that the words, I will remember or I will visit, symbolizes redemption. Making a reference to Exodus chapter 3, verse 16, I have indeed remembered or visited were pivotal and the acceptance by the Israelites of Moses' announcement of the impending redemption. As soon as you address them with the words, I have indeed remembered or visited you, they will listen to your voice. For this sign has been passed on to them from the time of Jacob and Joseph. They know that these are the words that will herald the redemption. For both Jacob and Joseph said, God will surely remember or visit you. Now, in Luke chapter 1, in announcing the birth of Yochanan the Immerser, we have these words. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and prophesied. So this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, that is, judgment upon the nations, and from the hand of all those that hate us. You see, the redemption is associated with judgment upon the nations. And it's associated with performing the mercy promised to our fathers. Redemption is an act of mercy. And to remember his holy covenant, that is the promise made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The oath which you swear to our father Abraham. Yahweh judges pastors or teachers and leaders of his people, whether it's pastors in Christianity or rabbis in Judaism, for not visiting his people, or in other words, not teaching them redemption or the proper understanding of redemption. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastures that feed my people, you have scattered my flock. Well, if the redemption of his people is associated with visiting his people, then the scattering, which is the opposite of ingathering, is going to be associated with not visiting them. So it says, you have scattered my flock and driven them away. You have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, says the Lord. Yeshua came to visit his people or redeem his people. Luke chapter 7, verses 13 through 16, it is written, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion upon her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, that is the casket, and they that bare him stood still and said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he was delivered unto his mother. This is an allusion to the exiles of Israel, who in Ezekiel 37 are likened unto being dead and dry bones. And when you speak the words arise, these are the words of resurrection life. So this one is raised up, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God. You see, the ingathering of the exiles, which is associated with the resurrection of the dead, is associated with the God of Israel being glorified. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen among them, and that God has visited his people. This is redemption. Israel didn't know at the first coming of Yeshua the time of her visitation. When's the time of visitation? Passover. Passover is the month of redemption. So when does Yeshua die? The time of redemption. Passover. In Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, it says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, that is Jerusalem, and wept over it. And what he's doing here, it's an allusion to the ministry of Jeremiah, who's called the weeping prophet, and the book of Lamentations, where the book of Lamentations addresses the exile, and it's spoken of in terms of mourning and distress. Saying, if you had known, even you, at least in this your day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench around you, and compass you round, and keep you in on every side, and shall lay you even with the ground, and your children within you, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. You see, the visitation is victory over your enemies in being redeemed. Not knowing visitation is your enemies' triumph over you. That's the opposite. So there, if you don't know your visitation, that's why the enemies of the nation of Israel ultimately triumph. And in this case, we're referring to the Roman Empire. Yeshua died at Passover, Luke 22, verse 15. And he said unto them, what desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened, for even Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let's look at a summary of what we've covered so far. Zacharias, the father of Yochanan the Immerser, or John the Baptist, was a Levitical priest who was selected to go to the temple to perform his priestly duties. While burning incense, he prayed the Amidah, or the 18 benedictions, which includes a prayer for the ingathering of the exiles and the coming of the Messiah. Associated with this is the coming of Elijah, who precedes the coming of the Messiah. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah that he would have a son who would be named John, or Yochanan, who would be of the spirit and the power of Elijah. Yochanan the Immerser was born at Passover. During Passover, a cup is placed for Elijah, which symbolizes the coming of Elijah during the Passover season. Passover is linked with redemption. Redemption is the ingathering of the exiles, and with the God of Israel visiting his people. Passover takes place during, the Bible refers to it as Aviv. It's commonly called today by the Babylonian name of Nisan, which is known as the month of redemption. And for this reason, not only was Yochanan born at Passover, proclaiming the redemption, but Yeshua died at Passover as well as proclaiming the redemption. Now let's look at the ministry message of John the Baptist, or Yochanan the Immerser. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days came Yochanan the Immerser, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's declaring the message of repent. And what's the Elijah message in Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 and 5? Remember the Torah of Moses. Why do you got to remember it? Because you forgot it. And if you forget it, you know what you're doing? You're not following it. And so, therefore, his message is to follow it, which means repent. Repent, why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's the kingdom of heaven? It's the rule of the Messiah to gather the exiles and to set up his messianic kingdom. What's the ministry message of Yeshua? The same message. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Yeshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Yeshua has another phrase that's associated with repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it is written, now after that John was put in prison, Yeshua came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So the gospel is associated with the kingdom of God and the coming of the kingdom of God. And it was being proclaimed, repent, for the moment is at hand for that kingdom to be set up. Why? Because Elijah is present, which means repentance can be preached to the people. If the people do repent, the Messiah is there to forgive the people. And if they receive the Messiah, he's here to set up his kingdom. That's why the kingdom is at hand. And Messiah could thus ingather the exiles. However, at the first coming of the Messiah, the message wasn't received. So the setting up the kingdom got delayed, and the period of time of the delay is 2,000 years. The ministry message of Yeshua and Yochanan are, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and repent and believe the gospel. So we now need to define what repentance is, and we have to define what the gospel is, or what is believing the gospel, because that was the message. The ministry message of Yochanan the Immerser is that Yeshua is the Messiah. So part of the gospel message is that Yeshua is the Messiah. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 and verses 3 and 4, it is written, "It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you immersed or baptized? And he said, Unto John's immersion. Then Paul said, John verily immersed with the immersion of repentance. And what is the immersion of repentance of John? That the people should believe on him which should come after him, that is Messiah Yeshua." Further looking at the ministry message of Yochanan the Immerser, which is repenting and believing the gospel, is repentance means that you turn away from your sins, which means you confess your sins of not following Torah, which means that you end up, if you really repent, that you start following Torah. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "In those days came Yochanan the Immerser preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, what is his message of repentance? Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah," referring to Isaiah chapter 40, "saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So his message of repentance is, prepare the way of the Lord. So what is the way of the Lord? Because that's what he said, prepare the way of the Lord. But what is the way of the Lord? Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show your people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." So sins is a transgression. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, according, says the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from your transgressions, so iniquity will not be your ruin." So repentance is turning from your transgressions. But what is turning from your transgressions? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. "Whoever commits sin transgresses the Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah." So, repenting of your sins means you're repenting from transgressing the Torah, which means if you truly repent of your sins, then you start following the Torah, which is the way of the Lord. Because Yochanan preached, prepare the way of the Lord. Let's now see that the way of the Lord is following Torah. Psalm 25, verse 8. "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way." What is this way? Psalm 119, verse 1. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the Torah of the Lord." The way is walking in the Torah of the Lord. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10. "Wherefore shall a young man cleanse his way?" When you're cleansing your way, you're repenting from what you did. So how do you cleanse your way? By taking heed according to your word. But what's taking heed according to your word? "With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." So John was proclaiming, prepare the way. He was proclaiming, repent from not following Torah and start following Torah because Messiah is here. Then he also says, not only to prepare the way of the Lord, Matthew 3:3, but make his path straight. So what is a straight path? It's following Torah as well. Psalm 119, verse 35, "Make me to go in the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight." Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." So the path I walk has light. But what is that light? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. "The commandment is a lamp and the Torah is light." So therefore, the path of Yahweh is following Torah. That's the way of the Lord. So John was preaching the Elijah message, which is remember the Torah of Moses. Because Messiah is here, he's here to forgive you of your sins when you repent, and if you will confess your sins, he'll forgive your sins, and he'll also set up his kingdom. The king is here to set up his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So believe it. Believe the message. Believe that he's the Messiah that will do these things. Believe the gospel. The mystery message of Yochanan the Immerser is that the kingdom is at hand. He says in Matthew 3:2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what is the kingdom? The kingdom is Messiah in gathering the exiles and setting up his messianic rule. But what's associated with Messiah setting up his kingdom and his rule and reign in the earth? Well, it's the people repenting of their sins. And once they repent of their sins, the Bible promises that he would fill us with his Spirit. Once we would accept Messiah and walk in his ways and be filled with his Spirit, you know what's got to come in our lives? Love, joy, peace, which are the things of the kingdom. They're all interlinked together with each other. They're always synonymous with each other. In the Messiah text by Raphael Patai on page 144, we are told that it's Elijah who would come and announce the redemption to the house of Jacob. That's why John the Baptist, who comes in the spirit and the power of Elijah, says, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He's announcing the opportunity for the house of Jacob to be ingathered by the Messiah. Everywhere in the Bible, the name of Jacob is spelled without the letter Vav, except for five places. And everywhere the name of Elijah is spelled with a Vav, except for five places. Why? To teach you that Elijah will come and redeem the seed of Jacob. Jacob took the Vav from the name of Elijah as a pledge that Elijah would come and announce the redemption of the world to his children. And this is what John is doing. He's announcing the redemption. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Exactly according to what the expectations are. He's born at Passover, and he's got the message, and he's pointing it to Messiah. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, regarding Yochanan the Immerser's message, his message and what he's proclaiming is spoken of in Isaiah chapter 40, which it says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, that it's a voice crying in the wilderness. It is a voice crying in the wilderness. This comes from Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 3, the context of the voice that cries in the wilderness is, comfort ye my people, says your God, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness. Comfort is associated with the end of the exile of Jacob, the ingathering of the exiles, Messiah, gathering the exiles, setting up his kingdom and ruling and reigning. So, John, being the voice that crying in the wilderness, the context that goes with this phrase is the comforting of the exiles that there's going to be their ingathering, which is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. It's called the work of the Messiah, the ingathering of the exiles. Yeshua referred to this many times, I've come to do my Father's work. His work is before him. So what's his work? Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs. His work is gathering the lambs. So when you see, I've come to do the works of my Father, he's talking about gathering the exiles of Israel. Back to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. And his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. Comfort is associated with the end of the exile. The message in Isaiah 40 is, comfort ye my people, a voice crying in the wilderness. Comfort is a Hebrew code word for the redemption is coming, and it's an act of the God of Israel's mercy upon his people. We can see this from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10, verse 13, verses 16 and 17, as it is written. Hear the word of the Lord, all ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. You see, we're told in Galatians 3:16 that Messiah made the covenant with Abraham. Messiah is the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. Messiah is the bridegroom that entered into marriage with his people at Mount Sinai, Jeremiah 2, verses 1 through 3. So the people, when they broke the covenant at Mount Sinai, they were rebelling against Messiah, and as a result, Messiah scattered his people. But Messiah also is going to gather his people as well. That's why it says, he that scattered Israel, that is Yeshua, will gather him. That's also the work of Yeshua. And keep him as a shepherd does his flock. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance. It's likened unto a song, a dance, and the joy of a marriage is what the redemption is likened unto. Both young men and old men together, for I will turn their mourning, that is the exile, into joy, that is the redemption, and I will comfort them, and I will make them rejoice from their sorrow. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they will come again from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your end, says the Lord, that your children will come again to their own border. So when he's comforting his people, he's bringing them back to their own border. Comfort is associated with the end of the exile of Jacob. Let's summarize these points. The ministry message of Yochanan the Immerser was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repenting means that you decide to follow the Torah, which is the way of Yahweh and his path for our lives. The rabbis foresaw that Elijah would announce the redemption to the house of Jacob. Yochanan the Immerser announced that the kingdom is at hand, which is the role of the Messiah to gather the exiles of Israel and usher in the Messianic era. The voice of one crying in the wilderness from Isaiah 40 is associated with repenting of your sins and comforting the exiles of Israel. This is the message of Elijah. It was centered in the thought of the role of the Messiah to gather the exiles of Israel. The ministry message of Yeshua, as we are shown in Matthew chapter 4:17, is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From that time, Yeshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So if the kingdom is at hand, what is the kingdom, or what are things that entail the kingdom? Well, it's repenting. Well, if you're repenting, you're following Torah, and the kingdom is Messiah's rule and reign on the earth, and gathering the exile, setting up his ruling and reign on the earth. So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Yeshua taught his followers to pray this way. After this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. What is the coming of his kingdom? That's the Messianic era. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is telling us that during the kingdom, during the Messianic era, the will of the Heavenly Father will be done on earth, even as it's done in heaven. But what is this will that's being done? And that we're supposed to pray that this time come. Well, in Psalm chapter 40, verse 8, we are told that the will of Yahweh is that the Torah be written in our hearts. I delight to do your will, O my Elohim. Yea, your Torah is within my heart. So pray for the coming of the kingdom, that his will being done. That is, his people is following Torah. Pray for the ingathering of the exiles. That's the prayer. And so many in Christianity can, with their mouth, recite the words of the prayer, but they don't know the meaning of the words. It's a prayer for the ingathering of the exiles. The kingdom of Yahweh is the ingathering of the exiles. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 6. to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he's speaking about the kingdom of God. What is, he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He's teaching them about the kingdom and what is the kingdom at hand. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore will come together, they ask him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So the kingdom of God is the restoration of the kingdom to Israel, which is the ingathering of the exiles and Messiah ruling and reigning over the ingathered exiles of Israel. So Yeshua was declaring, John was declaring, I'm ready to do this at his first coming, if he would be received as the one to do it. But because he wasn't received as the one that what was to do it, and it's a sign that he wasn't going to be received, he rode in Jerusalem on a donkey. And the sign of him being received is Revelation 19 when he comes back riding a white horse. So therefore, the setting up the kingdom had to be delayed for 2,000 years, which is what it said in the Talmud in Sanhedrin 97 and 98, that Messiah should come after 4,000 years, and he should come after 4,000 years because the time period from 4,000 years to 6,000 years is called the days of the Messiah. But the delay, it says in the Talmud, is due because of our sins. And that's what is recorded in the Brit Hadashah. The delay is due to the people not receiving the Messiah and his message. So in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, once again, Yeshua is proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and believe the gospel. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Because this is what we're supposed to believe. It's to repent of your sins and accept Yeshua as the Messiah. The Torah is to be thus written upon your hearts. And the Messiah's got to gather the exiles and set up his kingdom. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Everything else is in some form or fashion how you would define the gospel of the kingdom is linked with those things. It's linked with it somehow. Yeshua's ministry was based in the Galilee. Why? What does this teach us? Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Now when Yeshua had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into the Galilee. In the book From Exile to Redemption, Volume 2, page 119, by Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, he quotes from the Zohar, Book 1, 119a, that the King Messiah will be revealed in the Galilee. From the Sanchino Zohar, Shemot, Section 2, page 220a, it says, Rabbi Simeon said, at the time when the dead will be awakened and be in readiness for the resurrection in the Holy Land, legions upon legions will arise on the soil of Galilee, and it is there that the Messiah is destined to reveal himself. But why is the Messiah got to reveal himself in the Galilee? It goes on to say, for that is the portion of Joseph, and it was the first part of the Holy Land to be destroyed. And it was there that the exile of Israel and their dispersion among the nations began, as the Scripture says, but they are not grieved for the hurt of Joseph, Amos chapter 6 and verse 6. So, we're being told here that the Messiah will reveal himself in the Galilee because of what happened to the northern kingdom in their exile, to bring restoration unto them. The northern kingdom was taken captive from the Galilee area as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 29, by the Assyrians. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. And he took, and it lists various cities, and then it says Gilead in Galilee, which is the land of Naphtali, and he carried them captive to Assyria. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it's making a reference to that taking, and it says, but the next one is going to be more severe than that one. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the dimness, that is the enemies coming and taking the people of the God of Israel, shall not be as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward he did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness, what do you do if you walk in darkness? You're not following Torah, because Torah is light. So the people who departed from following Torah, that walked in darkness, have seen a great light. That's the Messiah. Why is he a great light? Because he's the lawgiver. He's the one that forgives the sins of his people. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, what's the shadow of death? The exile in the nations. And upon them, light has shined. For this reason, the ministry of Yeshua is centered in the Galilee, which speaks about his role to gather the exiles of Israel with an emphasis on the 10 tribes. Matthew chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, going back to Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people, that is the 10 tribes, which sat in darkness, didn't follow Torah, saw a great light, the Messiah. And to them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, exiled by the Assyrians, light has sprung up. That is their redemption. That is their ingathering. So you can see Matthew 4 links Yeshua's ministry in the Galilee with this thought of the taking of the 10 tribes, which is exactly what is stated in the Zohar, why Messiah is going to appear in the Galilee. In the Galilee, one of the places where Yeshua ministered was in a town known as Capernaum. Matthew chapter 4, verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and he dwelt in Capernaum. Capernaum is the Strong's number 2584 in the Greek dictionary, and Capernaum means the village of comfort. Isaiah chapter 40, comfort is associated with the role of the Messiah to forgive the sins of his people and to gather the exiles. So because he's ministering at a town called Capernaum, it's a prophecy of his role to gather the exiles of Israel and to comfort them by doing so. So earlier we looked at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10, 13, 16, and 17, where it says in Jeremiah 31, verse 10, that he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd. Then in Jeremiah 31, verse 13, I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them. And that comfort is the return of the people of the God of Israel back to their own border. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 17. Then Yeshua makes a proclamation when he's ministering in the Galilee, come follow me. And this is the task I have for followers of him. I will make you fishers of men. And this is a reference to that a disciple of Yeshua is called to proclaim him as Messiah, to call the people to come to Torah, and to proclaim the message of the ingathering of the exiles. And it goes, and it's based going back to Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, which says, but the Lord lives that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he has driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I have given to their fathers. So it's, the subject is bringing them back to the land. How is it described he's got to bring his people back to the land? It says, behold, I will send for many fishers, says the Lord, and they will fish for them. Therefore, because Jeremiah says the exiles are going to be gathered by the God of Israel sending fishers to fish for them, Yeshua says, Mark chapter 1, verse 17, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This is fishing the exiles of Israel. And so in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, it says, "And Yeshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he says, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" You see, the setting of him proclaiming, "I'm going to make you fishers of men," is in the Galilee. And the reason why he's in the Galilee is because that is where the northern kingdom was taken captive. So he's making a prophetic declaration of who he is and what he's calling his followers to do. This, "I'll make you fishers of men," is an allusion to the northern kingdom scattered in the nations, because in Genesis chapter 48, verse 16, in the blessing given to Ephraim and also Manasseh, they were given the blessing of multiplying like fish in the earth. "And the angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads, and let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac." And the King James says, "Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." But the word "grow" is the Strong's number 1711. It's the Hebrew word dagah, which means to fish. "Make them as fish who increase in the earth." Because that literally doesn't make sense, it wasn't translated literally. It was translated as "multiply or grow in the earth." But the literal Hebrew says, "Let them increase as fish in the earth." And we see this word used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in his own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." The word "fish" is the Hebrew word dagah. And Genesis 48, verse 16, the Strong's number 1711, also is dagah, and it means to multiply or to increase. It also means fish. The exiles of Israel are called men, or Adam. "I will make you fishers of men." This is a reference to the exiles of Israel. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, "I will make you fishers of men." In the Art Scroll of Ezekiel on page 30, and explaining that so often in Ezekiel the phrase "son of man" appears, which is Ben Adam, it comments, "Of all the prophets, God confers a unique title upon Ezekiel. Throughout the book he is called Son of Man, or Ben Adam. And also the nation of Israel is called Adam. You, Israel, are Adam," Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31. "And the family of Israel in its entirety is called Adam," Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 10. So when he says, "I'm going to make you fishers of men," I'm going to make you fishers of the nation of Israel, with special emphasis on the northern kingdom. So the ministry message of Yeshua is repent and believe the gospel, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. What's a summary of these thoughts? Yeshua linked repent and believe the gospel with his ministry in the Galilee to call fishermen, whose call would be to go to the exiles of Israel and proclaim the messiahship of Yeshua to them. In the Galilee, Yeshua ministered in Capernaum, which means the village of comfort, which is an allusion to comforting the exiles of Israel through the process of gathering the exiles of Israel and Yeshua ruling during the Messianic era. The northern kingdom was exiled from the Galilee area. Therefore, in order to bring restoration, Yeshua's ministry in the Galilee was to bring restoration to them, as well as all the 12 tribes, which includes Judah as well. Now we should be able to understand the question that John asks of Yeshua and Yeshua's answer. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. "And it came to pass when Yeshua had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Messiah, he sent two of his disciples and said, Are you he that should come? Are you the Messiah? Or should we look for another? Yeshua answered and said to them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. This is the answer. Are you the Messiah, or should we look for another? Yeshua answers with this claim that he's the Messiah. He's saying, this is my evidence that I'm the Messiah. It is, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. These are all terms, that is, the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the dead, and the poor are all terms for the exiles of Israel. And blessed is he that is not offended in me. Why did he add blessed is he that's not offended in me? Because corporate Judah is offended at the thought that Yeshua is the Messiah. And he says, not only am I the one that gathers the exiles of Israel, you're blessed if you're not offended that that's who I am and what I do. So what is the gospel? The gospel is, because he said, repent and believe the gospel. And when Yeshua was asked, I'm the Messiah, he answered what I just shared with you from Matthew chapter 11. So therefore his answer is the gospel, because he's the Messiah. And the gospel is that he's the Messiah and his work. So what's the gospel? That is the blind, the exiles of Israel, receive their sight, they believe in Yeshua and follow Torah. The lame, the exiles of Israel, walk, they follow Torah. The lepers, that is the exiles of Israel, are cleansed. That means their sins are forgiven. The deaf, that is the exiles of Israel, hear. That means they believe that Yeshua is Messiah and they follow Torah. The dead, that is the exiles of Israel, are raised up. That means they're ungathered from the nations of the world. The poor, that is the exiles of Israel, who are poor in spirit because they don't know that Yeshua is Messiah and they're not following Torah, so you're poor in spirit, have the gospel preached to them. And that Yeshua gathers the exiles of Israel. These are all terms which describe the exiles of Israel. And the Sanchino Midrash Rabbah, volume 9, page 202, it tells us that when Israel sinned with the incident of the golden calf, they became blind, deaf, lame, poor, and leprous. Literally, in those days, this immediately happened to those who engaged in the worship of the golden calf. Rabbi Simeon ben Yohai taught, when Israel stood before Mount Sinai and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do and obey, Exodus chapter 24, verse 7, at that moment, there were among them neither persons who had issue, nor lepers, nor lame, nor blind, nor dumb, nor deaf, no lunatics, no imbeciles, no dullards, no doubters. With reference to that moment that says, you are all fair, my beloved, after they sinned, that is the incident of the golden calf, not many days passed before there were among them persons with issue, lepers, lame, blind, dumb, deaf, lunatics, and dullards. Then the order was given in Numbers chapter 5, verse 2, let them put out of the camp every leper and everyone that has an issue. In the Sanchino Midrash Rabbah, volume 3, page 383, we're told that the nation of Israel is regarded as being poor and afflicted. When Israel asked God, who are your people? The reply was, the poor, for it says, the Lord has comforted his people and has compassion upon the poor, Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 13. The nation of Israel is regarded as being poor, afflicted, and needy from the Sanchino Midrash Rabbah, volume 2, page 652, it says, Rabbi Yohanan said, whenever poor, afflicted, or needy occurs, Scripture refers to Israel. The nation of Israel is regarded as being blind from the Sanchino Midrash Rabbah, volume 3, page 438. The blind man is Israel because it says, We grope for the wall like the blind, yea, as they that have no eyes do we grope. We stumble at noonday as in the twilight. That is Isaiah in chapter 59 in verse 10. Yeshua proclaimed his task to gather the exiles in Israel, which is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, as it is written. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the ingathering of the exiles is associated with messengers being sent and empowered to proclaim the message. And the ultimate messenger with the ultimate empowering is Yeshua the Messiah. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor," that's the exiles of Israel, "to heal the brokenhearted," that's the exiles of Israel, "to preach deliverance to the captives," that's the exiles of Israel, "the recovering of sight to the blind," that's the exiles of Israel, "to set at liberty them that are bruised," that's the exiles of Israel. And this deliverance is all associated with Jubilee, which is the acceptable year of the Lord. He says, "I'm the Messiah, I'm ready to bring about the Jubilee, the full health and restoration of my people." And he proclaimed it here in the synagogue. The Messiah suffers for the sins of the exiles of Israel. That's the reason why he died on the tree, to forgive them of their sin from departing from Torah. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 49 and 50, it is written, "And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." John chapter 11, verses 51 and 52, it is written, "And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Yeshua would die, or he would suffer to make atonement for the sins of the people, because they didn't repent and believe the gospel. So therefore, he's going to die to pay for the penalty of their sin for not repenting and believing the gospel. He would die for that nation." This is a reference to Judah. How do we know that? Because it says, and John 11, 52, "and not for that nation only." Well, Yeshua, therefore, is dying for two nations. Who are these two nations that he's dying for? That he would gather together in one the two nations. That's Ephraim and Judah, northern kingdom and southern kingdom, who are the children of God who are scattered abroad. This is the reason why Yeshua dies on the tree. So the entire foundation of beginning to explain what's referred to as the gospel message of Yeshua and what is regarded in Christianity as the gospels, which begins in Matthew and in Luke with telling us about John the Baptist and his birth, the reason why this is being done is because it's setting forth Torah-based evidence that Yeshua is the Messiah in the setting of the problem that was at that time, after already having the history of the nation of Israel that had already taken place. John is born at Passover. He's proclaiming Yeshua as the Messiah. He's playing the role in the ministry, in the message of Elijah, in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And his message was repent. That means turn for not following Torah, because the kingdom is at hand. That is Yeshua and him being able to forgive the sins of his people, to gather the exiles, and to set up his kingdom as at hand. However, because the message was not received, Yeshua died to forgive the sins of his people for not embracing him and his role to gather the exiles. Therefore, that in gathering, in him setting up his kingdom, is delayed for 2,000 years. So that's why at the second coming, Yeshua said that Elijah will come and restore all things. The same thing that did happen is going to be repeated and happen again. But at the second coming, the restoration is going to physically take place, and Yeshua is going to ingather his people. That is the good news. That is the gospel of the kingdom. I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. Remember always these words from 1 John in chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk even as he walked. And how did Yeshua walk? He followed Torah. Even as he said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.